Another amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us again to this Bible study. You've been leading and guiding. You've been teaching and instructing. And your spirit is still here. Teach and lead to instruct us in the way of life. We're asking, Lord, you keep us awake as we listen and learn tonight. And help us, Lord, to live it out. And also to desire that others will learn with us. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name, we pray. We're coming to Exodus chapter 13, from verse 1 to verse 22. This chapter contains the movement of the children of Israel from the beginning of their journey unto the final destination. A long journey, no matter how long, starts with the first step. And it's the first step we're looking at tonight. And we're looking at divine guidance towards the glorious destination. There is a lot to learn by the believer that as you get born again, and you come out of the bondage of sin, and you are going on in the journey of life, you are journeying towards the end, a good end, an expected end, a promised end, that your end with God face to face, where you get to glory. And every step, every day, the Lord guides and the Lord leads. At this time, the children of Israel, living Egypt, did not have the Ten Commandments. They didn't have the pattern, the principle of righteousness that God laid down later. What they had was the experience of going from death unto life. The firstborn all through the land of Egypt had died. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. They too should have died. But God made a way through the blood of the Lamb. And he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague and the angel of death will not enter into their houses to slay them. And so they escaped death and they came into life. When we're born again, we escape death, spiritual death. We escape death, the judgment of death. We escape death, that is, even the separation of the soul from the Almighty God, the life of man. And we come into life eternal, everlasting life, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Being born again is the beginning, not the end, is the beginning of a long journey, the journey of walking with God, walking in the light, walking in the commandments of the Lord, and walking to please the Lord in all things. And throughout that journey, he guides us, he leads us, he helps us, he supports us, he grants us grace upon grace until we reach the final destination, divine guidance towards the glorious destination. Exodus chapter 13, Verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me, set apart unto me all the firstborn whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both man and of beast, it is mine. The firstborn that should have died, but they were preserved by the plan of redemption that God himself put in place. And he said, because they did not die, I favored them, I gave them grace, I overlooked all the past and overlooked the judgment that should have come upon them. And now they are saved, they are rescued, they are protected, they are preserved. They now belong to me. The same thing we say about everyone that is born again. We should have died, we should have been lost and lost forever. But God in his mercy, God in his grace has redeemed us, has saved us, has brought us unto himself, so that we will not see the spiritual death, the final death, the second death that has come, that will come to all unbelievers at the end of life. Because of that, we now totally belong to the Lord, and we surrender and give ourselves to the Lord, not only at the point of salvation, but every day of the rest of our lives. We now totally, completely, unreservedly belong to the Lord. Three things we're looking at in this chapter. Number one, girding the gracious deed of deliverance. Number two is grooming the growing descendants with dedication. Number three is guardians towards the glorious destiny with diligence. Look at number one. Number one, girding is gracious deed of deliverance that we find in the first part of the chapter. Chapter 13, verses 1 to 7. He wanted them to gird what he had done, the gracious deed of their deliverance. Let's study this under three subtitles. Number one is consciously release the first to the Lord. Number two, you constantly remember the foundation of your liberation. Number three, completely reject all forms of leaven. Number one, consciously, deliberately release the first to the Lord. It tells us in Exodus chapter 13, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, sanctify unto me all the firstborn whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast. That is, all these were now totally to belong to the Lord because of the gracious salvation, redemption that the Lord had performed. And now they were to personally, definitely, deliberately, consciously release the firstborn unto the Lord. What do we learn from that concerning you and concerning me? What we learn is that God now owns us. There's divine ownership because of the salvation, because of the redemption, because of his goodness upon us and he spared us and he rescued us from perishing. Because of that, he has ownership upon our lives, and he is first in our lives. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He has the first place in our lives and the first consideration in our lives. What does that mean in practical terms? When you hear the word of God and there's a challenge and a question in your mind, how do I do that? When do I do that? The consideration is not, how does it affect me if I do it? No, the consideration is God first. This pleases God. This is what God demands. And this is what expands the kingdom of God. And because of that, I do it. I am not the first consideration. Will I be happy? That's not the question. That's not the first thing. Would this bring me into the good books of people? That's not the first consideration. Will this make me to achieve an athlete goal, athlete purpose? That's not the first consideration. What it means in your life when God is number one, when God is first, is that this is number one in the heart of God. And I totally belong to God. And I'm not living for myself. You're not living for yourself. You're living for Him. The challenge comes to live in righteousness. If I do that in the office, to live in righteousness, how does that affect me? My standing, my promotion, that is not the first consideration. God is first. He's kept you alive. He's giving you eternal life. And he wants you to put him as number one. You wouldn't be living at all were it not for the fact that he saved you, he rescued you, he redeemed you, and he ransomed you. Because of that, in the office, I do this whether people like it or not. They are not my first consideration. The proof of it, the disapprove of it, that is not the first consideration. This is going to give me promotion. This is going to elevate me. That's not the first consideration. The first consideration is God. Put him first. The word of God comes to you on restitution. Get this corrected. Get this sorted out in your life. Right the wrong. The wrong thing that you did, make it right. The wrong thing you said, make it right. The lie you told, put it right. How does that affect me? My status. How does that affect me? My self-esteem. How does that affect me? My good name. That's not, you are not the first consideration in any matter. God is the first consideration. He wants this. He desires this. He demands this. He requires this. And this pleases him. And because of that, which is your first consideration, that's why you go ahead and promptly you do that restitution. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Evangelism or evangelization. How does that affect me? You are not the first consideration. Putting God first, making him number one in your life means that when the call comes to you, it's not, this will affect my plan, and this will affect my ambition, and this will affect this or that. No, you got it wrong. Give God the first place in your life, because he has saved you, and because you are passed from death unto life. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that you believe, and when you believe, then you will not perish, you have everlasting life. Because of that, he becomes the first in your life. Anything, everything, every day, every time, in any situation, make him first. Make him number one, because that is the logical conclusion that you are no more living for yourself, you are living for him. You are not living to please yourself, to satisfy yourself, or to make your own desire, your own ambition, your own life. Number one, you are making him number one. Look at that again. Seek ye first. First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Look at number two here. Number two is constantly remember the foundation of your liberation. The Lord told the children of Israel, he wanted them to constantly, always remember the foundation of their liberation. Exodus 13, we're looking at verse 3. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day. Remember. And there are many things we'll remember we should have forgotten. Remember Egypt, forget about that. The onions, the cucumbers we ate in Egypt, forget about that. Our past ambitions, our classmates, our colleagues, where they are now, forget about that. The offenses of people, forget about that. The actions of people, forget about that. What the Lord wants us to forget, many times, unfortunately, we remember. But he says, he tells us what to remember. He says we must remember constantly the foundation of our liberation. And he says, as Moses told the people, remember this day in the which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. Foundation. Looking at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Always go back to that foundation. And when you're building a life. Remember the foundation? You're building the Christian life. You're living the Christian life. Remember your foundation. You're building a family. Remember the foundation. You're building a business. Remember the foundation. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone, everyone without exception, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The foundation, they are to leave Egypt. And they have to leave everything in Egypt behind. All the idols of Egypt, they left behind. Remember, that is the foundation, and all the pleasures of Egypt, of the world, they left all that behind. That is the foundation. Constantly remember that. All the things that brought them fleshly joy, fleshly satisfaction in Egypt, they had to leave all that behind. And now that you're on your way, on your journey to the final destination, to the desirable destination, the pleasant land, the promised land, you must constantly remember the foundation of your liberation. Do you remember when temptations come? Do you remember when the old life wants to impose itself upon your life? Do you remember the foundation of your liberation? Everyone that names the name of Christ to depart from iniquity. Verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. In verse 22, flee also youthful lust. You won't flee if you do not remember your foundation. Lust coming back, desire for fleshly, illegitimate, illicit satisfaction coming back. You flee because you remember the foundation of your liberation. When you promise the Lord, oh Lord, I know I have been rotting, I have been defiled, but forgive me, and I will not go back to those defiling acts anymore. That is the foundation, and he wants us to constantly remember the foundation of our liberation. Flee youthful lusts, but follow righteousness and faith and charity, peace with them that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. I come to number three. Number three, completely reject all forms of leaven. The Lord was very clear to them. He didn't leave any part of their life to supposition or to personal thinking. I think I'll do it this way. I think I'd live my Christian life this way. No, everything is spelled out very clearly in the Word of God. Exodus 13, I'm reading from verse 6. In Exodus 13, verse 6, 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread. The Lord specified there are many kinds of bread. And these 7 days, a complete cycle of life. You are not to eat just any bread. Well, it is bread. And since they sell it in the market, since Egyptians eat it, and since other people eat it, why shouldn't I? You shouldn't because you're different. You shouldn't because you are ransomed. You shouldn't because you passed from death unto life. You shouldn't because you have come out from among them. And it said, be ye separate, says the Lord. Everybody is drinking that. Why shouldn't I? You shouldn't because the Lord has specifically told you that you are not of yourself. You do not belong to yourself, neither do you belong to the world. You belong unto him. And the people who belong to him, he dictates, he determines, he directs the way they ought to go. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, it says, unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be eaten, be seen with thee. Not only that you don't eat, it must not be seen with thee. Friends, what are you doing with this pornographic material? Well, I'm just looking at it. I'm not, you know, into it. I'm not interested in it. It must not be seen with you. Friends, how about this leaven of false doctrine? The books of the false prophets. Well, you know, I don't really believe, you know, what they are saying there. I'm just holding it. It must not be seen with you. You have it at home, you put it on the table, your children see that. Dad reads this, loves this. Let me see what's there. And they go astray. Your daughter sees that. You say, well, I don't go by that. I know what I believe. I only have it. It must not be seen. That's what God said. That's what the word of God says. It's not an excuse. I don't eat. Why do we see it with you? And it says that no leavened bread shall be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. All thy quarters. It wants everything false, everything evil, everything unrighteous, everything unscriptural to be thrown away, to completely reject them in all their forms. Matthew chapter 16, I'm reading from verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Don't touch them. Don't allow them to be seen with you. Don't reach them. Don't investigate. I just want to find out, why are people rushing to that place? Don't find out. The leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees must not be seen with you. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. I come to point number 2. In point number 2, we have grooming the growing descendants with dedication, grooming them, training them, teaching them, instructing them, developing them, the growing descendants. And you develop them with dedication that you find in Exodus chapter 13, verses 8 to 16. Three things we're looking at. Number one, telling descendants the story of redemption. Number two, teaching through dedication by sacrifice after redemption. Number three, training disciples through studies in redemption. Number one, telling descendants, children, sons, and daughters, and dependents, those who live with you, telling descendants the story of redemption. Exodus chapter 13, reading from verse 8. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. Coming forth out of Egypt, that's redemption. Tell them the story of redemption. How Christ died for us. How you heard the gospel of salvation. And you came under conviction by the hearing of the gospel of salvation. And that conviction led you to confession. And you confess your sin, and you turned away from them, and you confess Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and your life turned around. Tell them the story of redemption. Tell it convincingly. Tell it persuasively. Tell it as a pattern that you want them to take that same step too. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, and it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thy land, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth, for with a strong hand as the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. With a strong hand is what only God could have done, and he did it for you, saved you, and got you out of the bondage of sin. You couldn't do that by yourself, and no man could have done that for you. Only by the sacrifice and the shedding of the blood of Christ were you redeemed, were you saved, were you taken out of death unto life. Tell it. There's no other story as good as that. There's no other story as profitable as that for your children, for your family, and for your neighbors. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in a season from year to year. We're told in Psalm 44, verse 1. Psalm 44, verse 1. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the time of old. Those fathers were faithful to the instruction of the Lord, that they will tell the story of redemption to their children, And these children now said, we have heard, were told, and we believed it, and we give glory to God. Psalm 78, I'm reading from verse 3. 78 verse 3, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Verse 4. In verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. He's done it already. Christ already is gone to Calvary, died for us already, and he said, it is finished. Tell it everywhere. Tell to the people that know you and the people that look up to you that you are a child of God by the sacrifice of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Tell them how he changed your life. Tell them how he cleansed your heart. Tell them how he blotted out your sin. Tell them how he made you a new creature in Christ. Tell them. Don't tell other stories. Those other stories do not have eternal value. But this is the story of redemption that has eternal value. Tell it everywhere. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known. Make them known to their children. And the same thing is still commands us today, that will make the word of salvation, the word of faith, make it known unto your children. Verse 6, in verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Verse 7. In verse 7, that they might set their hope in God. That's the reason we tell the story of redemption. That's the reason we teach our children. That's the reason we teach everyone that comes under our leadership, that they might have and put their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, and might not be as their fathers, stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Number 2, teaching through dedication by sacrifice after redemption. We teach by word of mouth, and we teach by the life we live, by the things we do. We're told in Romans chapter 12, reading from verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In teaching, we put action, obedient action, righteous lifestyle, sacrificial life, to obeying the word of God, that will drill the lesson home to the people we're teaching. They know that we're not just teaching by word of mouth. We're teaching by self-denial. We're teaching by sacrificial living. We're teaching by practical lifestyle, a life of obedience to God. And we do that sacrificially, holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Now, if you're teaching the people that look up to you, we're not of this world, but you are conformed to the world. There's a contradiction. Your life contradicts your message. If you are teaching that Christ has saved us from Egypt, and you're always talking about Egypt, and you're talking good things about Egypt, well, why Egypt? You used to eat this and eat this and eat that. And you bring the remembrance of Egypt with pleasure, pleasant talk. There's contradiction when you say the world is evil, show it by the life you live. When you say the Lord has redeemed us from the world, show it by the life you live. And when you emphasize, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God, show it by the life you live, that you are not just saying it, you are actually sacrificially demonstrating it. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Look at number three. Number three, training disciples through studies in redemption. Studies in redemption. That's what they were to do, and that's what we are to do. Matthew 28, reading from verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Go ye therefore and teach. You teach them all power is given unto Christ. Power to forgive, teach them. Power to save, teach them. Power to transform lives, teach them. Power to give them eternal life, teach them. Power to cancel and erase the spiritual death, and the power to put in place eternal life, teaching them that all power, the power of redemption, belongs to Christ. And when they see that, and they turn away from their sin, and they turn away from darkness, and they turn away from the powers they had been pursuing in the past, they repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then they are baptized in water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. After that water baptism, now we have verse 20, the teaching And the training continues, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And everybody said, Acts chapter 2, reading from verse 38. Acts 2, reading from verse 38. And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name, in the authority of Jesus Christ, for the remission, forgiveness of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39, for the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Verse 40, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. The training of disciples in the studies of redemption. Point number 3, guidance towards a glorious destiny with diligence. Here we have Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 to 22. We're looking at three things here. Number one, the guiding pillar for his ransomed people. Number two, the great protection over his ransomed, reassured pilgrims. Number three, the glorious progress towards the resplendent paradise. Number one is the guiding pillar for his ransomed people. In Exodus chapter 13, reading from verse 17, here we're told, and it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent, the people return when the sea war, and they return to Egypt. The Lord was thinking of them. He didn't want them as baby believers to be confronted by trials, battles, and war that will make them think of going back to Egypt. He led them and guided them. Verse 21. In verse 21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and by night. Verse 22. In verse 22, he took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from there, from before the people. He gave them the pillar of cloud to lead them, cloud to protect them, and the pillar of fire to also give them the light and to scare away all wild animals that will hinder or injure them. Today, he gives us his word, and we go on and move on by that word. Psalm 119, verse 105. It tells us, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's how he guides us today, and he does not take that light away from us. Guides us every time, every day, every moment, in whatever decision we need to make, and he shows us the way we ought to go. Verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Number two is the great protection over his reassured pilgrims. And they went, as they went on the way, it was this pillar of cloud that also protected them from the enemy. Exodus chapter 14, reading from verse 19. Exodus 14, verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them, before their face, and stood behind them. The pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, moved from the front and came behind, so as to stand between Israel and the army, the chariots of Pharaoh pursuing them. Verse 20. In verse 20, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness unto them, that is unto the Egyptians, but it gave light by night to these, to the children of Israel, so that the one came not near the other all the night. God did that and used that to protect them, and he will protect us. He'll protect me in Jesus' name. Look at number three here. Number three is the glorious progress towards the resplendent paradise. That's where you are going. We will get there in Jesus' name. We're looking at Luke chapter 23. I'm reading from verse 39. Luke 23. We're looking at verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Look at this man, a criminal, a sinner, and he was now at the edge of life, and he was still in sin at the edge of life. There are people who keep on committing their crime, sinning their lives away, sinning their opportunities away, even by the edge of their lives. And they commit what we call the edge of life crime. They continue in the edge of life sinfulness. They continue in the edge of life corruption. In the end of life unbelief that he did not think was still casting doubt. If you be the Christ, save yourself and us. Look at verse 40. In verse 40, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? 41. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss, nothing wrong. Christ, the sinless, the spotless, the righteous, the one only dying for us, not for himself. And this other thief, end of life penitence, he said, he did nothing wrong. Verse 42. In verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I pray the Lord will remember you. The prayer you pray at the time of your opportunity will determine how he'll remember you. The condition of your heart after hearing the word of God, that you believe and that you're no more doubting, even at the end of such a clear message, that you are not doing what you used to do, doubting the way you used to doubt, unbelieving like you used to have, unbelief, but you say, Lord, I know you are Savior. I know you died. You didn't do anything wrong, but you died for me. Save me. Turn my life around. Blot out all my transgression. I know you are the king, and you're establishing the kingdom. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Verse 43. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Any amen there? Today your name can be in the book of life in paradise. And as you continue with the Lord, the grace of God in your life, living righteously, always remembering the foundation of your liberation, always remembering by grace you are saved, always remembering It will take continuity in grace and godliness for you to get into the kingdom. When the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise, I pray you will not miss heaven in Jesus' name. You'll be there. Where are you? Let's rise up. I'll be there. I'll be there. I'll be there. Do something. Let the foundation of the word take effect in your life. And remember always that foundation. Depart from evil. Stay away from evil. Remain, abide in the Lord.